All right, let's go ahead and get started. Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we need to cover our face-to-face meeting at the Internet Identity Workshop that's coming up at the end of October. We need to touch base on where we are on draft charter feedback. We had a really great week-long meeting with the Estonian e-residency team in Tallinn last week, and we're going to do a quick update on that, and then some planning for W3C TPAC. We need to figure out what we're doing for TPAC. Does anyone else have any other items that they'd like to talk about on the call today? Anything else we should cover? Go ahead, Christopher.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about beginning to do some simple implementation stuff. I have a goal of trying to reach sort of a self-signed verifiable claim demo and also assertions for their equivalent to PGP's peer assertions. I'd like to be able to demo that by late October. So,
okay, all right. So we can
find out who's interested in that and you know where we are.
Okay, so why don't we put that right after the IIW discussion, which is the first item on the agenda. So we can cover that as a since that's happening around the October timeframe as well. Anything else that folks want to add to the agenda? Pindar, I don't think we've got an introduction to you officially in this group yet. So if you don't mind kind of starting off with that, could we have a quick intro to you and what your interest in verifiable claims are?
Sure. This is Pindar Wong, Chairman of Verify Hong Kong, just a longstanding member of the W3C Web Payments community group from way back when. Primary interest here is in the confluence of verifiable claims and some of the blockchain interests in Hong Kong, seeing where the work is from an EID perspective. There are various different national e-identification card issues, including that of China, for example, EID.CN. And just looking to see where the edge is in terms of the current thinking based on the documents thus far. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Pindar. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our first topic, which is the verifiable claims face-to-face at IIW. We had two late joiners. 727 area code, who's that?
Oh, that's David. And I'm trying hard to get in so I could have done this myself. But
okay. Hey, David. And then 410 area code, who's that?
Wes.
Sorry, missed that.
Wes, Jason.
Hey, Wes. Jason. All right. All right, so the good news is that we have a face-to-face meeting scheduled. We have the venue. Tickets, all that kind of stuff is sorted out. Bad news is that we're going to miss a couple of people from this group because of various conflicts. So we're going to have, I'm going to go ahead and put a link in here. This face-to-face meeting is going to be coinciding with the Internet Identity Workshop at the end of October. The dates for the verifiable claims face-to-face meeting are October 27th and the 28th. So it's going to be the last day of IIW and that Friday. Again, you know, deep thanks to the folks that run the Internet Identity Workshop. They're really excited to have us there. And I think, you know, we're really excited to be there because there are going to be a ton of people that care about the type of stuff that we've been talking about for a while now. In attendance there. So Phil Windley, Kalia, and Doc Searles have all kind of opened their venue to us. they're going to be providing, you know, basically all you need to do if you're going there is buy a ticket, and then food and all that stuff will be covered along with the venue location. There's a discount code there. Make sure to use the links in that email to register. The event that's happening before IIW is the Rebooting Web of Trust event, which Christopher Allen's putting on. So we've basically got, you know, a good week and a half of, you know, all things related to identity and verifiable claims and, you know, blockchain identity kind of packed into those 2 weeks. So it'll be a great chance to network and get some solid technical work done over those over that week and a half. Any questions on IIW or our verifiable claims face-to-face meeting then? Go ahead and register, please, as soon as you can. Pindar's asking, will it be live streamed? I don't know. I've never been to an IIW event. Does anyone else know if it's live streamed? Christopher's saying no, it won't be. Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to, because the IIW stuff tends to be just sit down and get work done, and you kind of break out into whatever groups that you want to. So it's far less formal than most get-togethers. The thing that we need to do by the time IIW rolls around is make sure that we have our agenda down and we have all the people that will be presenting sorted. Right now, the verifiable claims get together is going to be open to the public because there's no W3C working group right now. So we're just basically going to invite the IIW folks to participate in the face-to-face meeting. First meetings are always kind of, we spend a lot of time just getting everyone up to speed, get everyone on the same page before we start doing more technical work. So that, I think that's what the agenda is going to focus around. We had a link to an agenda, unfortunately I can't find it right now, but we have a one-day face-to-face agenda set up. I think we're going to try and extend it to 1.5 days so that people can catch flights, late flights back home on that Friday. So we're basically going to take a good chunk of the Thursday and then the Friday up until around 3 p.m. To do the verifiable claims meeting. Any questions, concerns, thoughts on the face-to-face meeting at IIW? Dan Burnett's asking, is there any chance for remote participation? We're going to try very hard to have dial-in numbers, but because we may not be able to do it, because this is happening at the Computer Science History Museum, and they may not have the facilities to do dial-ins and things of that nature. We're going to try very hard to, Dan, but no promises yet.
Yeah, I understand. Worth asking.
Okay. Yes, kind of ironic that it's happening at the Computer History Museum, and we may not have good connectivity to do it. We're trying for it. Okay, anything? Tim's asking if we could do Google Hangouts. Yeah, I mean, if we have, the issue is not whether or not we want to, you know, do something like this. Typically, when we do this stuff, it's phone dial-in because that's universal. Not everyone has Google Hangouts or they have technical issues using Google Hangouts. So we give everyone a dial-in number and a SIP address or, you know, a bunch of different ways to connect to the same bridge. And we try to, you know, make it as open as possible. Okay, and Christopher's saying that he already knows that they don't have great connectivity unless the conferences pay a ton extra for it. And this is like on the order of like something like $4,000 a day or something, I think, is what some of these venues charge. Okay, if there's nothing else on IIW, we'll just jump to the second topic. Oh, actually, you know what? So Christopher, you said you would like to get some verifiable claims implementations That's a demo done. So why don't you go ahead, Christopher?
Sure. You know, one of the goals of rebooting Web of Trust is to, initially replicate what PGP does as far as Web of Trust is concerned, and then with more modern technology and more modern approaches, et cetera. And one of the most fundamental things that PGP does is a peer claim, basically saying this party. I've looked at their key, they've looked at mine, we're peers. We'd like to actually get that implemented with some kind of self-signed claim, be able to demonstrate the validity of peer chains and some other things for the rebooting Web of Trust so that we can begin to talk about some of the more difficult things, such as trust anchors and chain point, and other various things that we'd like to try to finalize as proposals at rebooting Web of Trust in October. So I've raised a little bit of funds from a couple of different people to dive into this some more, and I have one engineer who's interested in potentially doing some of the work or bidding on the work, and there may be some others. So mainly wanted to say that this is beginning to move forward. There's a little bit of a budget, not a lot, but some, if there are other people who have time available or want to participate or in different ways to let me know. And the goal is just a quick hack of self-signed claims and peer mm-hmm. attestations. So
great, thanks, Christopher. Any questions for Christopher on that? Anyone willing to put in some time, either thinking about the self-signed claims or doing any implementations? Adrian Gropper's interested. I think Digital Bazaar's interested as well, mainly because we've done these self-signed claims before, so we kind of know how to do it with the linked data signature stuff. How to exactly do it with JWT is a bit more problematic, but we're happy to help out, especially at the face-to-face at the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else have anything to say about this item? I think we're going to have a couple of demos for rebooting Web Trust and the IIW and potentially the Verified Claims Group as well. And then Shane is saying SpecOps is interested as well. Okay, that's good. I mean, this is all good because, with the verifiable claim stuff, we need implementations, and this is a part of it, especially getting diverse implementations done. So this is good. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll jump to the next item, which is draft charter. All right, so we put a RC2 draft charter together a while ago for W3C management and Microsoft to review. We sent this out at the beginning of August. It is now a month later. We have not gotten any feedback back from them. We have pinged them every week to ask for feedback. So either everyone's very busy or something else is going on. So we're going to continue to ping them and ask them what the status is. But as of right now, W3C management is non-communicative on the charter. Any questions or concerns about this? We've kind of talked about all the changes before. Any questions or concerns on this particular item?
I think in our, it's Tim Holman. In our last call, we spoke about getting about some of the needs that if there were other nonprofits or a range of other different stakeholders that weren't currently in the group, then there are some other aspects that we might be able to look at. So I also said at the time that I would look into reviewing the charter, and I'm working on it, but I haven't been able to provide any formal feedback just yet.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
So I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Great. Thank you. David, you're on the queue.
Yeah. You said questions or concerns. I don't necessarily have any questions. I definitely have concerns. And I know that we have a session planned for verifiable claims at our face-to-face. I wanted to simply let you know that I think that having that session is sending the right message to management. So I would like to keep that session and maybe work with you to figure out what it is. It may be that you just want to tell people what's happening without them, if you can think of a nicer way to say it.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is important for us to have the session.
Agreed. Yep. So we were going to get into this in the last agenda item, but the current plan is to try and socialize it very widely at W3C. I think we have to be very careful about how we say, how we talk about whether or not W3C management is, you know, how involved they are or not. So it'd be good, David, to get some feedback from Wendy before TPAC, because, you know, as of right now, it feels like we're being completely ignored by W3C management. So it would be good to know if that's actually what's happening or they're just too busy, you know, with other stuff that's going on. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, I think it's doubtful that it is willful ignoring. Mm-hmm. It may be a more of a trembling and fear ignoring. and it may be just that, because I don't really have any, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what's going on any more than anybody else does in W3C, but it could be that there's a lot of stuff for the AC to be talking about, and they maybe don't want to cloud the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be the best. It may be the best thing that could happen at this point. So I would. I think it will come quickly when it does come.
Okay. Right. So I think there are two opportunities to socialize the verifiable claim stuff at W3C TPAC. One of them is on the Wednesday, where we have just kind of, it's the unconference portion of TPAC, which is always a ton of fun. And then the next one is going to be during the Web Payments IG meeting. As David pointed out, we have a verifiable claims section there as well. So my hope is that, you know, we'll have two opportunities to socialize it at W3C. We will be able to tell them that we are having our first face-to-face meeting a month later, so they'll have the chance, the opportunity to come to that if they want to. You know, we're being very open and transparent and inviting, as we have always been. So hopefully that's a positive message to be sending out there. Does anyone else have any other thoughts or concerns about the draft charter feedback? We're going to continue to reach out to Wendy and Wendy Seltzer at W3C and the folks at Microsoft. And I think, Shane, you had tried to get in touch with folks at Google as well.
Yeah, and was never able to arrange a meeting.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, that work continues. So every week we ping those people and make some headway on it, but we're being unsuccessful in getting those folks to respond. Go ahead, Christopher. You might be muted, Christopher.
Sorry, I just wanted to be clear that, you know, I'm proceeding even if W3C does not. I mean, at this point, it's got, you know, several years of maturity. I've got a number of other people in the blockchain area that are interested in interoperability, and there really aren't other solutions for us. So, you know, we're just going to move apace. I mean,
great.
So.
Great. Thank you, Christopher. Adrian, you're on the queue.
Is it possible to know who at Microsoft is involved in this conversation in case it is people that I might be able to reach out to?
No, I mean, I think we've been, you know, it's Mike Champion is the AC rep for Microsoft, and he's been public about his involvement in the conversation. We have spoken with Anthony Nadelin as well, who's been involved in the conversation. And most of the pushback has come from Anthony's group, but after speaking with him, they seem to be, you know, not pushing back as strongly as they were in the beginning. Daniel Buechner from Microsoft's blockchain group has also been involved, as has Kim Cameron and his identity group in London. So, you know, it's a fairly large group of folks. And Adrian, if you know any one of those folks, please ping them and see if they're, you know, what their latest thoughts are on it.
What's Anthony's last name?
Nadelin. N-A-D, actually it might be N-A-D-L-I-N, N-A-D-A-L-I-N, it's one of the two.
Okay. The people I might be able to get to would be the privacy legal team at Corp.
Okay, I mean, if you do send them a ping, would you mind CCing me, just so I've got all those names there? I'm probably going to collect all of those names together and send them an email just to ping them again and say, hey, by the way, we're still waiting on feedback from you, but kind of going ahead. So please participate if you're interested in this stuff.
Okay. It might be a while before I do. I have to work through patient privacy rights to get to them. But
okay. That's great. And Adrian, just to be clear, like we have no contacts in the privacy legal side of Microsoft, so that would be a new set of contacts that you'd be you know, talking to, which is great.
Yeah.
One more thing to kind of echo what Christopher Allen was saying. I think many of us are at the point where we're just proceeding without W3C. You know, we've got customers that want these things. We have a strong desire to interoperate. The blockchain community has been one of the, you know, major ones to kind of pick up on this work, along with kind of government, Estonia, you know, those types of folks. So, you know, I think we're with Christopher. We're just going to proceed at venues that are not W3C. Until W3C effectively gets its act together and says whether or not they're going to participate in this work. But we'll find nicer ways to say that when we're at TPAC. Any other comments, questions, or concerns from folks? All right. Next up is the Estonian e-residency face-to-face meeting that we had. Let me find a link to this. So for those of you that are not aware of the Estonian e-residency program, it's one of the most aggressive, advanced electronic ID, electronic residency programs in the world. The Estonians have had digital. Hey, we've got feedback from someone, whoever just dialed in. Lots of typing. Please mute yourself. Thank you. So we had a pretty much a week long meeting in Estonia where they flew in around where probably 50 to 70 people to talk about things related to verifiable claims. So e-residency, e-identity, and how governments can launch next generation programs around digital citizenship and things of that nature. The Estonian e-residency program is really interesting in that they will, if you want to, you can apply for e-residency status in Estonia. They do some checks of your passport and effectively issue a digital card, a smart card to you, which you can then use to execute binding legal agreements in Estonia and therefore, you know, part of the European Union. So they're going after entrepreneurs right now where as an entrepreneur, you can get an e-residency card, you can open a bank account. They just passed some new laws that do require you to step into Estonia at all to open the bank account. You can do it all over Skype. So you can open a bank account and then use certain government services in Estonia just purely using the card. So you can sign contracts, hire people. It's really a great program, and they're really, really forward-looking. And we were asked to participate because of the work that we're doing in verifiable claims. They would like to shift over to a more standardized ecosystem, something that would scale with the web if the verifiable claims stuff gets a good bit of traction internationally. And so we were able to have some great discussions with companies, entrepreneurs, ministers of government, lawmakers. We had a number of folks from the United Nations that were interested in the verifiable claims stuff as well. There to just talk about the future of digital identity. We're going to try to pull some of those folks into this group. We had a bunch of good conversations with companies there that wanted a standard way of expressing verifiable claims. And we'll see them kind of filter in over the next couple of weeks as I get that information to them. Any other questions or concerns about the Estonian e-residency face-to-face of the program there?
Any next steps with them?
Next steps are basically give them the information on this group and let them join. I'm on the advisory board for the residency program for Estonia, the national advisory board for that program. So we will have a dialogue, an ongoing dialogue with them for at least the next year or so on e-residency. They are planning to meet again in a year. And if anyone has the chance of going, I highly urge you to go. There are very few people from government that I have seen with the foresight that they do when it comes to digital identity and e-residency. All right. The last item on our agenda today is planning for TPAC. We covered this a little bit early on in the call. We have two opportunities to spread the word about verifiable claims. I think the message of TPAC is this work is starting. The kickoff meeting is in October at the Internet Identity Workshop. So people can hopefully double up on travel, double up or triple up in the case of rebooting Web of Trust on travel. It's open. We have a charter that the W3C management is reviewing, but we're not waiting on that stuff to start to be approved to begin work. We're just going to continue building the community that we have been building over the past 2 years, and we're going to go to implementations and get this stuff deployed. So we've got two opportunities, one on Wednesday during the unconference session and one on Friday during the Web Payments IG meeting. So we'll, again, we'll just be socializing what we're doing a bit more, getting more organizations to join and kind of go from there. There are three items that this group needs to work on. One of them is kind of the slide deck for TPAC. I'll take an action item to that because I have to on that because I have to present to the Web Payments IG meeting, and it's probably going to be a good chunk of overlap content. The thing after that is the agenda. So we have to have our agenda together for the IIW timeframe, so the end of October. We need to get the agenda together, and we're going to rely heavily on other people in this group to kind of present their viewpoints. So my hope, you know, is that, you know, Christopher, you'll be able to talk a bit about the work that you're doing with verifiable claims. Shane, you can talk about use cases. Hopefully, you'll be able to talk about use cases and things of that nature. Unfortunately, Dan's not going to be able to make it, but, you know, we'll have to have someone go over the specification and kind of what we have so far, and so on and so forth. So I think we're going to spend a lot of time just level setting with everyone. Christopher, this is not for TPAC, it's for IIW. So these presentations I'm talking about are for IIW. For TPAC, no one in the group has to volunteer for TPAC. I think we have it covered. But IIW, we want a nice, varied conversation. So we want, you know, different people doing presentations throughout the day and a half for the verifiable claims meeting. Okay. Any questions on TPAC? Anyone has? All right. If not, that is it for our call. Anything else that we need to be aware of over the next week or so? All right. So hopefully go ahead.
Sorry, if we've got time, but the IPFS conversation that we missed last conference, are we able to quickly run over that?
Sure.
And I'm able to do it at the end.
File system. Yes, sorry, I totally forgot about that. Thank you, Tim, for reminding us. We started a discussion on the interplanetary file system and how that hooks into the work that we're doing here. This has to do with decentralized identifiers. Part of this has to do with decentralized identifiers, and the other part has to do with verifiable claims. We are talking with the IPFS folks, so we know Juan Bennett very well, and we've had a number of opportunities to kind of sit down with them and talk about this stuff. I think at the next Rebooting Web of Trust workshop, we'll be able to sit down with them again and talk about it. But IPFS is not there's not an obvious use of IPFS other than for publicly verifiable claims. So you could put, you know, a publicly verifiable claim on IPFS. And it's just a, you know, it's a public database where you can put those types of statements. We're also talking with the Big Chain DB folks. So that's Trent and his group. He was in Estonia and we chatted with him a bit about verifiable claims. They want to use it. Trent, Big Chain DB, what they're focused on is putting in intellectual property into a blockchain. Or intellectual statements around intellectual property, who owns a particular piece of intellectual property, into a blockchain and you know, get a digital signature on it and effectively have verifiable claims in a blockchain around creative content. Big Chain DB is built on top of IPFS as well. So, you know, it touches IPFS there. The IPNS stuff is a bit more shaky, like we don't quite know exactly what's going on there, what the overlap with decentralized identifiers and IPNS and those kinds of things are. I know that, Les, who's on the call today, and Drummond and the Respect Network and Sovereign team are looking at decentralized identifiers and DIDs. As well. So, you know, this kind of like the decentralized identifier community is looking at, you know, this stuff, which includes IPFS and Sovereign and the Respect Network folks. Christopher, you're on the queue, and Les, I don't know if you're still on, but it'd be good to kind of get your thoughts on kind of where you're heading with the decentralized identifier stuff. But let's hear from Christopher first, and then Les, if you can. Go ahead, Christopher.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we've clearly identified at rebooting Lever Trust that having making some progress on decentralized identifiers that are created from blockchain technologies and you know, we've begun to define some requirements. I was just trying to quickly grab the requirements thing that is in the GitHub for rebooting Web of Trust. It was just recently published. But basically, there are identifiers. We're not trying to close Zuko's triangle with names. In fact, we're, very much most of the parties, but not all, are really kind of avoiding the name problem to be able to create an identifier that someone can claim, prove that they own, and then be able to modify the information over time, be able to rotate their keys, which is actually an important trust anchor problem. And at this point, I know of four efforts there. I know that the Ethereum with Consensus and Christian Lundquist has been looking into one. Blockstack has a version that is namespace oriented for blockchain. I've got a few hacks for doing it on the Bitcoin blockchain, and Respect Network has been working on making it work with the Sovereign blockchain. So there's beginning to be some work there, some long-term challenges. One of our objectives is that at some point somebody might be able to move one of these from one blockchain to another blockchain. We haven't addressed that. Juan Bennett of IPFS has some interesting ideas about how that might be possible in the future. All of these types of things will be discussed at Rebooting Web of Trust. I did have a separate queue item, which is, Chainpoint and other proof of existence things with JSON LD. Given that there isn't really a JSON LD working group per se, a lot of these things also require proof of existence in the JSON LD signatures. So I don't know when or where or if this is the right place to bring that up, but it's one of the things that's coming up.
Great. Thank you, Christopher. I've got some comments on that. But before that, Adrian, you're on the queue.
Just a quick note. Uport, the Consensus folks, are also using IPFS as part of their DID project.
Great, thank you. And that dovetails into what I was going to mention. So, Christopher, you mentioned Kristen Lundquist, and Adrian, you did as well. I sat down with him this past week in Estonia. So he was one of the people that was there, and we started kind of discussing how these decentralized identifiers could work and various approaches. And I think, we played around with the idea of having one namespace identifiers and the complexity that brings to the ecosystem, and kind of a pure technical approach where everyone you know, hopefully at some point everyone might agree on a single blockchain, which doesn't exist today. It would have to be created, where we would basically use that blockchain for decentralized identifiers, and potentially other blockchains would could create kind of proof of existence, proof of publication for that central blockchain. So we did talk with the UPort consensus folks about it. It was a really good conversation in that, you know, we were able to at least identify areas of technical complexity that we wanted to avoid. So my hope is that we can kind of continue that discussion at Rebooting Web of Trust. Christopher, you know, you said there's no JSON-LD working group right now. It's true, but I think, you know, the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop is kind of turning into discussions that we can have around linked data extensions, linked data signature spec, and those sorts of things, right? So all that is very malleable technology at this point, and I think we could just, you know, have the discussion at Rebooting Web of Trust, because that seems to be where the discussion is happening today. And then if at some point we wanted to move it back over W3C, we can do that. But honestly, if we can get traction with it, you know, there's no reason to move it back into W3C. Tim, you're on the queue.
How integrated is blockchain? Is it becoming a mandatory feature of credentials, or does verifiable claims work?
That's a good question. It depends on how far into the future you look. I think there are a number of us, including, please correct me if I misspeak, but I think, you know, Christopher, Adrian, you know, Digital Bazaar, Consensus, Blockstack, and to some degrees part of Microsoft,
Respect Network,
yes, thank you, believe that we're going to have some kind of decentralized ledger for the decentralized identifier stuff, because you need a record of history and you need cryptographic proofs, and it's just it naturally kind of solves that problem. So for decentralized identifiers, I think the consensus is that we do need some kind of DLT. For verifiable claims are agnostic to whether or not you're using a blockchain. You can use verifiable claims with blockchains and blockchain protocols, meaning the data model and the data format, but it is not an absolute requirement that you tie verifiable claims to decentralized identifiers. For example, for many years now, we've been tying them to URLs. And of course, the problem with URLs is that you have lock-in to one degree or another, which is the whole reason we have this decentralized identifier thing. So for decentralized identifiers, yes, blockchain seems to be a requirement. For verifiable claims, it is not a requirement. It's not a hard requirement, but the system's better off as a result of using blockchains. Christopher, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I also wanted to be clear on another aspect of things. You know, there's been some discussion, and, you know, at least my framing of it is that there are risks of putting too much information on blockchains, their privacy and other risks. So, you know, actually a lot of our work is to figure out what is truly essential that we can get the benefit from, you know, things like proof of existence and being able to have these persistent decentralized identifiers without the long-term risk of putting too much identity information on immutable ledgers. So there's a trade-off here that we're trying to address. You know, my goal is to put as little as possible, you know, to have the blockchains be trust anchors so that we don't have to have hierarchical trust anchors as we do with X.509. But then really sort of, you know, nip some of putting everything on the blockchain meme in the bud if we can.
Yep. Go ahead, Tim.
I guess, you know, from a few years back, there was a lot of work on Redrop Web, which has now gone down this path of solid. And I think, Manu, you were working on WebDHT. IPFS has turned up. And I guess whilst I absolutely understand the idea of proof of existence and be able to decentralize that or to lower the risk of it, I ponder whether or not the work within verifiable claims is being overly tied to blockchain technology and how that may impact the buy-in from different stakeholders.
Right. So
and
that's
it's been brought up as a clear separation between the groups of work and, you know, those sorts of implications.
Yeah, so you raise a very good point. You know, if we tie too closely to blockchain, then all of a sudden we potentially lose a good chunk of the community. I think because of that, we're trying to make these very loosely coupled. So as Christopher Allen saying in IRC, you know, verifiable claims, it doesn't require blockchain at all or chain point signatures in any way, shape, or form. There are use cases, though, where that is useful to combine them. But in general, we're not saying it is an absolute requirement that verifiable claims be built on top of blockchain. We're definitely not going there. The other, and as Christopher's saying, we absolutely want compatibility. We want good interoperability. So if people do want to put these Lego blocks together, we've thought about the interoperability story, and we have a very good interoperability story for when and if and when that happens. The other point that I wanted to make that you brought up, Tim, you know, you mentioned WebDHT, and I think, you know, we're backing off on WebDHT, meaning that we don't believe that WebDHT is the right solution anymore. We think that a decentralized ledger is the right solution. When we had proposed WebDHT, there was always this idea of a history mechanism. So it was basically a DHT with a history. And the more we looked into it, the more it felt like all we really needed was a distributed ledger. And that would actually address the problem in a really nice way. The only benefit of a WebDHT at that point becomes the ability to put a ton of more data in there. And if all we're talking about is, you know, WebDHT was a point solution for decentralized identifiers. And because of what's happened with, you know, storage in the last couple of years, we don't expect there to be so many decentralized identifiers that we can't store it in a single blockchain. I mean, if you look at the number of transactions that are stored in the Bitcoin blockchain and it's still only 80 gigabytes in size, we would be very surprised if there are that many people and organizations and devices in the future. Another way to say it is that the rate at which storage technology is scaling is faster than the rate at which you can get new decentralized identifiers. That's the working theory right now. So I think we can put WebDHT kind of in the corner. I think everyone's focused on distributed ledgers to do the decentralized identifiers. The question now is, what is the best mode of operation for that implementation or set of implementations? And that's what we're trying to hash out at the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop. But again, none of that should impact the success or failure of the verifiable claims work. It is a parallel working track. We're just trying to demonstrate interoperability between the two pieces of technology. Does that make sense, Tim?
There's a very big difference between a foundation that is web scale versus a foundation that is social community scale. And I think 2.4 billion people on the planet don't have electricity
mm-hmm.
for more than 2 hours a day
mm-hmm.
or more than that. Blockchain obviously is a compelling compelling new technology. I've worked a lot on blockchain related technology. Being overly narrow about it, I think may not serve the best interests of the verifiable claims work, as that may hook into several different protocol layer pieces, other pieces of the work, including blockchain.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to make sure that we're not going to go off the rails with this, I think, we're engaging, for example, the United Nations ID 2020 initiative. We're engaging the Estonian e-government program. We're engaging people that are, working in refugee camps. So we're very aware. Just this past week, I talked with someone that has been the head of the CTO of a very large multinational bank who is now working on extending internet and web services to people that don't have electricity and don't have computers or mobile phones or anything at home. So we are very much thinking about, how to reach the folks that don't have running water and electricity with this technology as well. So I think it's well said, Tim. I think your concerns, we have the same concerns. And we're trying to figure out the right way to go about solving those things.
It's not an easy problem to solve.
No,
it's
not.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think that's it for our call today. If there's anything else we need to talk about before next week, please speak up. Queues are empty. Thanks everyone for the great call. The focus for next week is going to be on creating the slide decks for W3C TPAC. So we have that presentation material together. And then after we do that, we'll move on to focus on the agenda, the face-to-face agenda. That's it for this week. Thanks everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Tim, I'll give you, here's a URL to one on protecting digital identities in developing countries from rebooting Web of Trust.
Thank you.